Hello and welcome to the XA Gaming Podcast. Hello and welcome to the XA Gaming.
Sorry, that was my bad.
Hello and welcome to the XA Gaming Podcast.
This is all going into.
Of course. Basically, you come for the games, but you stay for the experience. Home of the Joe Rogan Podcast.
Yes.
It's all going well, to
no,
shite now.
I thought you made a mistake, but no, you fucking cleaned up. I like that.
I kept it going, D.
Yeah, I want that as the new intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Andy, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on what is our first big milestone for the channel. This is our 50th ever podcast.
Yeah.
Episode 50 of the podcast, and it is an absolute honor to have you here. We hope that you enjoyed our parody intro of the US Office. We had great fun making it.
Yeah.
And
it is a documentary, let me remind you. So.
It is a documentary. Yeah, absolutely,
100%. You get the DVD of that.
Dee, what a fantastic time to be here. Not only is it episode 50 of the podcast, Dee, it is also the 1st of June.
Just brilliant.
It is also
Friday. Which is awesome.
Like 13 days away from E3. Like just a week away from E3, essentially. And we have just been blown away with some of the news and stories that are coming out in the gaming industry this week. But we'll get to that. First of all, Dee, I want to hear all about your week and the build up to what is the crescendo of the podcast.
50.
50.
Yeah. This is it.
This
we
is,
end
this is
here.
As far as we go. Yeah. 100%.
Episode 51, not happening.
Let's jump in. Tell me about your week.
I mean, I've been focusing everything around today. Everything I've done has been in preparation of this moment, so good. I can be perfectly on form for this podcast. Good. Yeah. I didn't do much. It's quite weak.
Yeah, quite weak.
Quite weak.
Quite weak.
No, Chris. What was it, a quiet week?
I don't know. I don't even remember. It was a really good week.
We're so hyped up right now. We can't even remember.
We can't even remember the week.
We're
the
so
week was
pumped. God, did I do anything?
That was like, oh, it was like a week ago.
Hang on. Oh, here we go.
The week was like a week ago. I'll start. All right. I had a pretty interesting week at work in that it was quiet. It was reasonably quiet at work as well, probably because of all the good weather that we had. Mm. It was a phenomenal week for weather, D. And apart from that, at home, I've done very little D. I've played some more Minecraft. I'm getting really stuck into Minecraft. Shout out to GM Sinker because he drives now.
He does drive now.
He does, as you may have guessed from that. Oh no,
my boy drives.
We didn't even put it into the intro. I thought we did. Congratulations, GM Sinker, on passing that driving test. Yeah. We are incredibly proud of you.
Could have drove here for this podcast.
Don't open that can of worms.
Could have been here.
Don't do it. I think it's befitting that the two of us are here for episode.
I think
50.
It's Bethesda. Bethesda.
We are full circle tonight with what's going on.
Man,
you know what I mean. The table is laid out for what's happening. Can you see the pops? You can only see like a couple of them. That's fine. There's Fallout pops on the table.
You know, all you need to know is that there's pops.
We'll get to that thing after our weeks. Apart from that, what else did I do this week? Myself and Aisling took Mia, my dog, for a long walk.
You know,
through the forest park. Forest.
Yeah.
Beside the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a good day.
You live by a forest now.
I live in a forest, essentially. Yeah, I'm surrounded by forestry.
In a woods.
In a bush. Yeah, pretty much.
I live in some shrubbery.
Yeah, the undergrowth, the underbelly. Yeah, we took her for a walk. That was a really hot day, actually. Oh, that's what it was.
Is that the interesting thing that happened?
Yeah, like...
You took her for a walk?
That was the thing. Like, the week was so bloody intense and so...
so intense.
I just said that the week was so quiet. And yeah, it's
so intense.
It was a quiet week, but it felt like I was completely stressed out, even though I wasn't.
Do you know what it is? I think I have a theory about this. This week was essentially our summer, so you had to get everything done.
Yeah, but at the same time, I didn't want to do anything
because it's summer. Exactly.
It's full circle.
You got these contradicting ideals, Chris, and you have to get outside and do things. Because the sun's out, but also you have to chill because the sun's out.
It was a perfect example of that, D. It was like, oh, the sun's out and I really want to make the most of that weather. Yeah. So I played Minecraft with the windows open so I could enjoy the heat.
Nice one. Do you remember the time we took the Xbox and TV outside?
Outside to enjoy the sun.
Couldn't see a thing.
No, the glare off the screen was horrible. Awful,
but like...
But we did it.
We did it because the sun was out and we make the most of it here in this country. Yeah. It's lashing again today.
Yeah, it is. Our thunderstorms, rolling thunderstorms throughout the country tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I'm going to have power when I go home.
It's how we live.
It's the world we live in. Like, you know, it's a cross we almost bear.
Yeah. What it's I'm tough. To say. It's tough for us.
But yeah, then what day was that? I had like 2 days off there and I forget what days they were. I had like a half day and then the entire next day off. Because my brother left for Spain.
That's right, yeah.
That's what it was. So I had the next day, it was a half day, and then the following day off. Monday, Tuesday, I think it was. And we just chilled out. Ashley and I just chilled out at the house. My ones went to Donegal. Just took off the Donegal for the days.
Picked a good week for it.
Really good week for it. Yeah. So we just chilled out, did nothing. Did some wedding talk and felt pretty grown up for like 20 minutes in the conversation that we had about that.
Yeah.
And then we didn't think about it, and then we came back to it. And felt grown up again. It's like, it's nice to have that little spikes of like grown up.
You need that, Chris. Can you keep grounded?
Keep grounded. Oh, I'm one chapter away from finishing Neil Gaiman's Norse Mythology.
Fuck, you flew through that.
It's too easy to read. You know, it's a very, very
How long of a book is it?
Not overly. About 200 pages.
All right, okay.
Yeah, but 200 pages. Very, very, very good book. Loads of really interesting stories. Just highly recommend it. Yep. I was talking to James Sinker during the week. He's got to pick it up, I think, on
Tuesday. Wednesday.
Kindle ebook. So how was your week? Yeah, that was pretty much the highlight of my week.
How was my week? Guess what I didn't have?
Pizza.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
I seen Dale Byrne got in touch to say that you could never turn down a free pizza.
Yeah. I did.
Why did you?
No. Because I had a pizza. I had a fucking large double decadence, which is essentially two pizzas.
Okay.
A night before. So I just couldn't do it to myself.
So you didn't have any pizza this week?
With the way I have, the way I am up in Belfast.
Intermittent fasting?
No. I get my dinners paid for, so the pizza didn't cost anything anyway.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing intermittent fasting like a motherfucker.
Yeah. How's that going?
Do you know what I never realized before?
What's that?
When you're hungry.
You're like not when you're hungry.
No. Well, okay, maybe you're not, but like when you have a bit of a hunger on you, you know, like you can feel it in your stomach, but it's not like kind of like, oh, I have to eat or I'm going to fucking collapse.
If you just drink water.
Yeah, if you just drink water or maybe drink tea or something like that.
Chances are you're probably just thirsty.
Keep yourself satiated for a little bit, but without eating, you feel pretty good. Maybe not good, but you definitely feel like, you know,
I feel focused. Like I've lost a pound.
Yeah. I think I've lost a buckle on my belt.
Yeah.
But it's not even that. It's just like, I feel hungry, but I'm sitting like I'm at work and I'm kind of like drinking my water and I feel focused. I don't know what it is. It's just weird.
Yeah.
People say you do get focused when you're hungry though. Like,
yeah.
Like a lot of people, like a lot of thinkers, like
will work hungry.
Will starve themselves until they like solve a problem then reward themselves.
Reward themselves with food.
I'm not really doing that. Like I just kind of like the feeling of
you
being hungry.
You are doing that,
now.
Aren't you?
Yes, I'm solving so many problems. The Middle East. If we can just separate. No. I just kind of, this time, it's not that I'm enjoying it, because obviously when you can't eat, when you want to eat, that kind of sucks, but I'm seeing more benefits of it now, more than just kind of like, oh yeah, you're keeping weight off by intermittent fasting and still being able to eat relatively what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can still do that, but now I'm kind of like, I'm feeling good in the mornings.
Yeah, I read a couple of interesting things. It's funny you should mention that. My Instagram kind of took out with intermittent fasting and different kind of fasting techniques over the last week there.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was like intermittent fasting week or something or what was going on, but a lot of people seem to be doing it. Maybe it was because Ramadan was on or over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they don't eat during the day.
Until like 6 o'clock and then they feast at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's whenever the sun sets. So like here it's pretty bad because our sun still out. It's like 10 o'clock now and it's still out. But
when the sun sets, they eat.
It works with a guy actually who did that. And like in the summer, he worked like a champion. Who's stopping him?
Yeah.
I was like, man.
Yeah, how are you doing this?
Yeah, but you must be kind of thriving off that. You do feel the hunger, but you're kind of like nearly motivated to go on.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's nothing weighing you down.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, have went the opposite way in the past couple of weeks, and I'm trying to eat everything. Everything, but at the same time, clean everything at the same time. And the last 2 weeks, I've noticed that I am back more motivated than ever, I think, in the gym with my lifts, because I'm back. When I pulled my back about 5 months ago, all my like peak lifts took a big plunge, and it's only now in the like last 2 weeks I'm back to where I was.
And is that because you're eating so much?
Getting to where I was, I think. Well, I think it's fact that I'm recovering quicker and I'm able to get through the workouts. And
yeah.
I think it's more mental than anything. I probably could have been there like 2 or 3 months ago, but I just didn't push myself. Now it's just to the point where I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to eat and I'm going to use that energy and I'm going to train as hard as I can.
I'm going to kick its fucking ass.
And the lifts
ass.
Are big and I'm eating Rice Krispies and I love life.
That's it. There's nothing better.
No.
There's nothing better.
Put a poll up, Rice Krispies or Cheerios.
Every time you say you put a poll up, I don't know, maybe it's the way you're resting
a poll. Yeah.
I can just see you digging your
fucking
hole.
Flags of our fathers.
And put a poll up. It's because, people don't normally put a poll up. They hold a poll or they have a poll.
You
put a poll up.
I hosted a poll.
Joe, I really wish we had used pop filters this one.
I know. There's a lot
put up a poll.
Pick up a penguin. I divulged my viewers
what
in a poll and to ask whether they thought Krispies or Cheerios were the way forward in the cereal world.
I think that's going to be close.
What do you think won?
I think I want to say I would say Cheerios.
You would personally go Cheerios?
Cheerios, yeah.
Okay, I personally went Krispies. I think Krispies are a winner chicken dinner. But Rice Krispies and not chicken. And Cheerios won 56%.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which I was shocked by because I think that's just weird. People should eat more Krispies.
No, Krispies.
Yeah,
Krispies are nice, but they're all the same flavor, each individual crisp. Rice, if you will. But Cheerios has that kind of variety, you know, some are kind of Swedish, some are kind of whole grain.
Cheerio corn and wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I always like about Cheerios.
But there's just no good in circles. I remember David Guest?
True.
I watched a documentary on him before, and I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
He used to have his Cheerios cut in half because he believed that no good could come from circular objects.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't wrong.
I mean, he's dead now, so, you know, I guess it didn't do him any good.
Circles got him in the end, Chris.
Yep. Circles came back to Cheerio. Cheerio, David.
You know, I'd feel bad about that, but I don't think he was a particularly nice person.
No, I don't think many people liked him.
No.
So, if you were a fan of David Guest, I apologize. And to his immediate family, relatives, nephews, uncles.
And thank you for listening. All of his immediate family.
Imagine.
Relatives.
I hope Alicia Vikander's listening to this one.
She's a big fan. And
of Fallout.
Propster. Yeah. She's going to be in the new Fallout film.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. She's going to be Tomb Raider now.
She's going to be Tomb Raider in Fallout.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Five. VR. But no, D, uninteresting week, I think. Me and you've done a lot of planning.
Planning's an interesting word for it, Chris.
We're going to go away and do some stuff soon.
Mm-hmm. We're going away together.
Oh, we're going to QCon soon enough.
Oh, yeah, at the end of this month, because we're now in June.
We talked a little bit about cosplay. I'm thinking about ordering a giant Steve head and diamond sword.
Oh, that's a nice one, actually.
I'll wear jeans.
It's a pretty good one.
I'll wear brown shoes like Steve, or boots, I don't know what he wears. And I will wear a light blue shirt. And I will be Steve.
A light blue shirt.
Shirt.
I was thinking of just getting
What were you thinking?
Let me finish, man. I was thinking of getting son of a fucking bitch. I'm just gonna wear some combat trousers. I'm gonna get a t-shirt that says RCPD on it.
Oh, Raccoon City Police Department.
Yeah, probably just do that.
Awesome.
Something easy.
Yeah.
But still something.
Something, yeah.
But nothing. I'm not gonna be there fucking sweating my head out now.
You get BSAA. Steve.
What does it stand for?
Branched chain amino acids. No, BSAA were the stars.
That doesn't go into the abbreviation at all. BSSA is stars.
Chris Redfield was
BSAA. I know, yeah, but I'm trying to think of what.
No, that was BSAA emblems.
Yeah, you should.
He was member of the Stars Force Elite Team. Don't know, I'm lost in my timeline.
Biohazard Service Association of America. BSSA.
Yeah. Do that. We had talked about going as Chris Redfield and the boulder he punches. That'd be fantastic.
That's a pretty good day.
I'd love to be a boulder. What a day.
I'd love to be Chris Redfield.
Yeah, it was a boulder.
Holy fuck. Pioneers used to ride these babies for miles.
D, we have to do something because it's episode 50. This is kind of a new segment to the show. We're
50 years old today as the XI Gaming Podcast.
We picked something up today. This is, as you may have seen from the introductory,
Lagavulin Scotch.
What? This is like, yes. Lagavulin Scotch.
Don't show the front.
From Scotland. And what we have planned to do is we're obviously going to toast tonight with this fine, fine scotch. And from now on, if ever we get good news from the community, if we get a really good community question, if Microsoft blow us away with something once, if there's a really good...
Once, because that's really all they're capable of at this point.
I mean, come on.
They got one left in the tank and that's it.
When they do it.
Yeah, we'll toast to it. We'll toast to it.
I'll have a bite to this. Or when something big just happens.
Hopefully E3 will give us a couple of reasons
to toast. We deem it worthy of a toast. We will use the fine Lagavulin scotch that will sit proudly either on the table or shelf, depending on the weight capacity of the shelf.
We put those up ourselves.
So, D, I have two glasses here, D. We're going to have a little nice toast one tonight for episode 50.
Yes, exactly. A perfect occasion to begin our toasting tradition. You give yourself a fair fucking helping, bae.
Well, I decided to, you know...
Wish you worked in the May local.
We're only here at... The XA Gaming Podcast once.
Every week. We're only here.
Here's to 50 episodes and to Microsoft blowing us away. Someday.
Cheers.
And cheers to everyone who has followed us from day one. Because this is also for you. Good Lagavulin.
Enjoy this.
Yes. Goes down <easy. laughs>
Goes down smooth.
Not the worst, I have to say.
Pretty good. Swiss key.
But that's what is going to happen from now on. If ever something blows us away, really with anything, with community questions, if we just get a really good comment, if anything, really. We're just looking at our excuse to drink.
Can I have another?
Hey. Oh, look, the candle flickered.
Cheers.
Piss at the end of this.
No, that is an idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
Just get absolutely
an IRL
pissed
podcast.
Here's one for you folks.
Oh, that's why
if you want to see us get pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the next podcast, because that's E3, but the podcast right after that. You want to see us get pissed in it, give us 10 likes on this.
Oh, 10?
10 likes. Is 10 is dead easy. Like, 10 people, like, it's dead easy. We're not asking for much.
10 of you. All we want is 10 of you.
Yeah. 10. We're going to intoxicate ourselves.
That's
to the point
brilliant.
Of the
yeah,
injury.
I really enjoy that. I feel so warm now.
Like, get down there and just... Fucking like that smash button, you know? Fucking smash it.
Did you say like that smash or
like that smash?
Like
button?
That, like that subscribe button. that's what the kids do, right?
Yeah.
But in all honesty, thank you to every single one of you who have contributed and helped us get to 50. Without even realizing it, all your kind of likes and comments and support. That it made us be like, as we say, just pressing that like button. And
yeah,
we think,
yeah.
Jesus, this is doing well. Or a comment, a simple comment, just with a thumbs up or saying, well done, or blah, blah, blah. Did we ever think we were going to get the 50? We always kind of hope, but we weren't sure at some point.
I mean, I'd say if we didn't get as much support as we did, there's a good chance we wouldn't have
got 50. We wouldn't have got the 50, yeah. But now we know we're going to get to 100.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
Because of you guys.
Yeah, because of you guys. So thank you very much for the support, guys. And this is very much...
Cheers to them. Pour another, Chris.
Cheers to them and Microsoft for doing your thing.
Blow us away, guys.
But that's the week's out of the way. We don't have news this week because our news is a main topic.
Yeah, we're going to focus on that for the main topic. Yeah. I want to do one more when we're cheersing.
Oh, yeah.
We cheers away to Prawn. Prawn is his name. He follows us on Twitter.
Is this the guy?
He has a YouTube channel, and he made us a pretty fucking sweet piece of fan art.
Fan art, yeah. We actually got fan art.
So random.
It's our symbol. With the XA Gaming.
It was the XA Gaming the logo.
That's an XG, by the way. Shawnee Mac did not know that that was... This thing right here is XG, not just an X. It's an X, cut it in half, and the other half is a G. XA Gaming.
Simple. An idiot could work it out.
Yeah. XGP.
Idiots.
Swear to God.
I had the weirdest like bout of deja vu there. Like,
yeah.
All of that has happened before in my head.
Wow.
So weird.
I forget what to say about deja vu.
Deja vu. When it's deja vu, it's deja vu.
Deja vu. It'll get you.
Very strange. All
but
of
yes,
that.
Yes. Shout out to Prawn for doing that.
Prawn, yeah. And he's also on YouTube. So go like his videos.
Thank
his videos.
Very much, Prawn. And to everyone. And yes. Do you had a question for me? Do you want to keep it to after the Fallout talk, or do you want to jump into it?
Yeah, now? I think it's more of
after an afterthought. Okay,
yeah. something to round out the part.
So, ladies and gentlemen, main topic this week. We're sorry if you're not big into your gaming, but this is just something that had to be discussed. You're about to get the ins and outs.
This is mega news.
Everything we need to know about Bethesda's latest announcement, Fallout 76. I've taken a lot of notes over the week. I hope Ryan True Gamer is listening to this one because he's probably the biggest Fallout fan I know. And I hope James Sinker is listening to this because he should be here.
He should be here talking about this.
James Sinker is going to be with us for...
Missed out on a lovely pizza, bit of scotch.
Well, he's going to be here for E3, so hopefully they blow us away.
He fucking better.
So I have taken some serious notage over the week.
Some sick notes, Chris. Some sick ass notes, okay. Let me tell you.
Let's start off.
Well, let's just... What happened?
Yeah. Bethesda went live on Twitch.
Yeah.
With their infamous Please Stand By...
Little logo.
Post-apocalyptic kind of logo thing. The Please Stand By thing.
Yeah, with the little... Like the Indian guy above... A very unique
Indian?
What would you call that? Yeah, there's
Native
like a,
American.
Sorry, Native American chief.
Yeah.
On the what do you call it?
I don't know.
The Please Stand By poster, whatever. Yeah. But it's like it's iconic Fallout, like it's the start of every game.
Yeah.
So everyone they posted it on Twitter first and people were like, Fallout news coming inbound soon. And then this Twitch stream just opens up completely randomly. And whenever I seen it, Chris, I logged on, I opened up Twitch and I left it there. For like 3 hours. Yeah. I was editing one of our videos. I left it on the background for 3 hours. Nothing happened.
I did the same thing at work.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the next day though.
Yeah, no, it was like up for like 24 hours. I seen people on Reddit who posted their office, in their office at work. Someone just put it up on their big screen.
Yep. Just people were just waiting. Yeah. So it went
very
on
few
for
games
quite
can get
while.
That amount of fanfare. Like
that's what I mean. They're good at building hype. Maybe we should do that sometime.
Yeah.
Please
live
stand
stream.
By.
Live stream.
Please stand by. Live stream. So they kept that up for a very long period of time before finally releasing to fans across the world a brand new trailer. A brand new, spanking new trailer. The way I have my notes is a little bit different, so I don't know how you want to talk about this, because I can jump into any of my notes anywhere, so how do you want to go about this? I started off with the name.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so we got the name. Fallout 76.
Fallout 76.
I think, Chris, it's a bold strategy, you know, to skip 5, 6, 7, 8, and right the way up to 90.
Right the way
up to 95.
Yeah.
Or 75.
Yeah, 5 through 75.
I think it's daring. I think it'll pay off big time.
So basically what they've done is they've named it after Vault 76.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you who don't know in Fallout, there were these vaults created by Vault-Tec, which were pretty much bunkers to keep people safe during... the Great War, when the bombs fell.
Yeah.
These were these safe havens for these people to live and unfortunately be experimented on under the ground by, would you say government, or was this like a branch of government?
Yeah, I think it was government, like the government was involved, or the government in this Fallout universe was involved. But like mainly it was Vault-Tec just like running their little experiments.
Experiments under the ground. Yeah. Vault 76 was one of hundreds of vaults all across the US.
The continental US.
Yeah. So 76, but however, the note I have on this one, D, is that 76 is one of 17 vaults. Did you get this as well?
A control vault,
which means that they weren't actually being experimented on. They were used as like a baseline for the other vaults.
Yeah, so to compare all the other vaults where they did some fucked up experiments. Yeah. I mean, if you played any of the Fallouts, you've seen plenty of vaults with some crazy shit going on in them.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
You never played Fallout 3, so you've never met Gary.
No, is that Gary?
Gary.
I've heard Sinker and Ryan do that a lot when we used to work together. The two of them just be up and down the corridors going, Gary?
Yeah.
Gary.
So like some fucked up things like cloning people, experimenting on them, making them sick.
Wow.
Playing like, there's so many different ones. I can't even think of the main ones now.
Right, okay. So just
fucked up things.
Shit that shouldn't have been done to people.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Well, this Vault 17 was housing 500 people and no more, apparently. Mm-hmm. This was the number that they were putting into this vault. And according to records in the Citadel in 3...
Yeah.
I'm talking a little bit about location kind of thing there. This would have been a vault close to Washington, D.C. However, it was not on the Capitol map.
No.
So we can assume that it was kind of just around the capital.
Greater DC area, possibly. Well, we're not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Citadel terminal says something about Vault 76 being in the DC area. So close to DC. Well, that's where Fallout 3 was set, in Washington, DC.
Yeah.
So possible setting. They're going to go back to the DC area. Yeah. One thing of note, I'm sure you've all watched the trailer by now if you're listening to us, mm-hmm. but if you haven't, it starts off with the iconic kind of, you know, the music.
Mike Denver.
No. Before that, the black, the ink spots, I think they're called.
Oh,
but
yes.
But it's like the classic I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire music. They start off with a little sting from the start of it, but then they skip into Mike Denver, Country Roads. Which mentions West Virginia.
West Virginia. And West Virginia, if you know... Now, I didn't know this, obviously, to watch the video, because I'm not big on geography, especially around America. But it's actually a borderline state with part of the D.C. area, if that's right.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
Somewhere there.
Virginia is there. Yeah. So, yeah, West Virginia must be just west of that.
It is part of the D.C. area. So, chances are, we could say we're... Yeah.
I mean, I imagine it would be... Fault 76 at like the top corner of the map, and then it expands into DC.
Yeah.
And this is the other interesting thing about it, Chris. So obviously the trailer shows us a lot of the inside of this Vault 76. And we'll talk about some of that stuff in a minute, what we see in there. But the first thing that you see of note is the Pip-Boy alarm going off.
Yes.
And the date is...
Have
you got it there?
Yes. First of all, the vault was actually... What we know from this vault is it's programmed to open 20 years after... This is when the doors are set to open. And this is going to be their kind of... was it Reclamation Day or something?
Reclamation Day. You see a lot of that propaganda knocking about.
So they're set to open in what would be 2097 would be the year that the doors are set to open.
Yeah, so however, when the bombs fell 2077.
Yeah. But when the Pip-Boy... that we see launches, it's 2102.
Yeah, which is
the October 27th, 2102, which is 25 years after. So there's 5 years there.
But we're not sure what happened.
Why did the doors not open, Dave?
Well, maybe they did open. This is the other interesting thing. There's only one person that we see in the vault.
Yeah.
When there was 500.
Very true.
You know, possibly more or less, depending on like how populations would move about. So what happened to the other 489 people?
What went wrong?
Maybe they left after 20 years.
Maybe.
This is what we don't know anything about this.
Why the door's not open? Who made that decision, though, you know?
Yeah.
Because isn't there a vault master or something in each of these vaults?
Yeah, there's so every vault has an overseer.
An overseer. That's what.
And they wouldn't be in control of these things. But like generally, if Vault-Tec are involved, like it'll be their plan that goes ahead. So... Yeah, I wonder. Maybe they did decide we'll not open it until 25 years. Or maybe, and I'm more inclined to believe this, because in the trailer, the vault is very empty.
Yeah, desolate.
There's only one person. Oh, so I'm thinking maybe the people did leave after 20 years and never came back. And this is the only guy left. So maybe he's still like moving in and out of his vault.
Yeah.
We don't really know.
So what we talk about what we see in the vault then after the Pip-Boy.
So we see... Oh, we see one thing that is a first, as far as I'm aware, for Fallout. A colour television.
Oh, yes.
There's colour TV in this. Yep. And even the little teaser that they set up, which is the Police Standby logo, it's in colour. There's colour elements to it. Yeah. So, like, I don't know why that... If that could possibly be relevant,
was
but
Fallout 4 TV in colour?
Pretty interesting.
At the very start.
No, it was black and white.
Was it black
and white? I think it was black and white, yeah.
Ah, I thought it was colour. I don't know why I thought that. I think I always picture the start of that game to be so much colour around Sanctuary. You know,
yeah, well,
everything's
that's
so
true,
bright
yeah.
and vibrant.
In the pre-war environment.
So the music that we hear going on is West Virginia. We've talked about the dates, which is 25 years after. Why the delay? There's a celebration happening in the vault that we can see.
Seemingly so. A lot of posters up.
Balloons. We see confetti. Mm-hmm. And then we see posters. And there's one giant one as the camera pans through. It says Happy Reclamation
Day. It's even mentioned on the colour television, something about celebrate or enjoy Reclamation Day.
Pretty much, when the doors are going to open and these people are going to go out and reclaim America.
That's what we assume.
Exactly.
Reclamation Day.
Yeah.
But then that brings up another interesting point, because would all that shit still be up if they left?
If they left.
Five years ago?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, maybe...
Maybe there's something else going on, something seedy going on in the vault that we're not sure about.
But maybe Reclamation Day is something entirely different, you know?
Yes.
Maybe Reclamation Day is coming back to the vault after 5 years of being out of it. I don't know.
I find this to be particularly interesting, Dee, because I didn't know much about the Fallout lore at all until I read into this, right? But if this date is to be correct...
So 2102.
If the date on that Pip-Boy is to be correct, October 27th, 2102, that would give us a setting 59 years before the events of Fallout 1.
Yeah.
Which makes this game...
Way earlier.
A prequel.
Yeah.
A prequel to the Fallout
Universe. Beginnings.
Which then I was like, oh shit, I don't know if they've ever done this.
Yeah.
So I went reading into it to see what kind of events would have taken place around this time. Did you look at any of these?
I have a couple of things. Yeah, because
you know a lot more about the Fallout universe than I do. I know very, so I just literally wrote these things down. So outside of the vault then, if this is to be believed at this time, it would be 25 years after the bombs are dropped. It would be 35 years before the Master begins.
Yeah. Now, are you aware of what the Master is and how that's related to things?
Yes. So the Master is Richard Gray, the guy who...
He's like the main antagonist from Fallout 1, the original PC game.
And he discovers a military base, so that'd be right, with
FEV virus. The Forced Evolution Virus.
Oh, that's what that stands for.
Yeah.
Excellent. I probably should have Googled that. which pretty much brings us to where we get our super mutants from. Would that be right?
Pretty much. So Richard Gray is, I think, he gets infected somewhere or another.
Yeah, it says accident. From what I've read, it said accidental. But what I believe is he started to kind of try to manipulate his genes or whatever with this virus.
Something like that, yeah. I'm not sure how he himself got infected, but as soon as he did, he decided that he's going to create a new super race of humans, and he infects them all with this forced evolutionary virus, which basically makes them mutate into super mutants, which are like one of the biggest like enemies you can meet in the Fallout universe.
Yeah.
But if he's not born or he isn't infected for another 35 years?
Well, no, you see, that 2102 is the year that he finds the base and begins test.
Oh, yes.
Which then got me thinking, and could he be like our main kind of antagonist?
Yeah, the body?
The body, essentially. Possibly. Could that be what this is kind of maybe got a center, you know?
But
we've heard of this guy off.
We know he has to survive.
Exactly, so he has to get away somehow. Yeah. So it's got to be there in the story.
Are there going to be super mutants? Because if he's only found it, you know, can he create an entire army of super mutants?
Yeah.
Possibly not.
The more I read into this, the lore of this world, it's fascinating.
It is very interesting.
I really, really like it. I didn't know that this was so much. And all these...
Another thing about Richard Gray is, and this is kind of important... So Vault 76 is, as we discussed, West Virginia, East Coast of America near Washington, D.C. Richard Gray, Super Mutants, the Master, all of that happened West Coast. Never sure that we, yeah. West Coast of America, California. That's where the first game is set. So they're opposite ends of the country.
Ah,
so maybe they're not related at all.
That's where he was set.
That's where, I think, that's where that's all based, yeah.
Right, excellent. I did not know that. That year, by the way, is also 8 years before the Institute is formed in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, so no Institute and possibly no Super Mutants, which are two of the, like...
The Institute was, from...
They're the baddies from the second game.
Second game?
Yeah, so far
I only know them from the fourth game.
Yeah, they're barely in the fourth game, right?
They're one of the
the Institute, sorry.
Yeah, they're one of the big factions.
Yeah, the Institute. I'm thinking of the Enclave, which is the baddies from the second one.
I don't know the second
one. But the Enclave, I think they come out of this area.
Right.
So they're an East Coast thing. So this could be around the formation of the Enclave. So essentially the Enclave are the remnants of the US government. It's the same US government that sanctioned these vaults to experiment on people and do all this fucky shit. They sort of emerge out of the vaults maybe 25 or 30 years after the bombs fall, and they try and form a new government. But like, there is no government to be formed. So they kind of just like try and make their impact felt through force. And they're like,
are they like the Brotherhood?
Kind of. They're like the antithesis of the Brotherhood.
Right.
Okay. So the Brotherhood and the Enclave are always in opposition to each other.
Right.
But the Enclave can be good or bad depending on your point of view, I suppose.
Right.
But generally, they're seen as the bad guys.
They're bad guys, right? Okay.
So it could be interesting to see maybe something around the creation of them. That might be what this game focuses on, Chris. Possibly.
Right. Excellent. I did not know any of that, so I've just got a history lesson as well.
Yeah. An alternate history lesson.
So Richard Gray could be our possible bad guy. Well, possibly. We don't know. But we know he has to survive one way or another because
exactly,
Okay. Excellent.
Ooh boy.
Where else do you want to jump to with this?
So 2102 is like way crazy earlier than the rest of the games.
Yeah.
It's gonna be really interesting to see what if we are in DC, which is what I'm assuming we're gonna be. You haven't played Fallout 3.
No.
But most of us...
I played the beginning of Fallout 3.
Most fans of Fallout were sort of brought into the series, in the modern day anyway,
with Fallout 3.
Yeah. So we're going to be very familiar with DC as it was. And a lot of people, I imagine, were pretty frustrated with how small the actual city area of DC was.
Was it more wasteland?
A lot of it was like the outskirts and the wasteland, you know. But apparently there were plans before 3 was ever finalized and, you know, released to like, make that city part way bigger. Like, you know, in Fallout 4, Boston, like, it makes the makes bottom, up, yeah. about a third of the map is all Boston. Yeah, yeah. Like, DC is like maybe a quarter or less. Oh, right, okay. And it's very frustrating to navigate through DC because you have to go through metro tunnels and stuff. You're probably familiar with that.
Oh, yes.
Could this mean that DC is a lot more open to be explored? Because it's only been, what, 30 years, 30 we'll years. Say, so it 25 hasn't got years.
That kind of magnitude of destruction. Yeah. And,
you know, everything would be, you know, in bits destroyed, but...
Freshly destroyed.
Yes. You know, maybe things haven't quite fallen and blocked things off the way they have.
Right,
and people haven't really been around long enough to fuck things up either.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be like a more open world to explore. Mm. That's assuming we're going back to DC. It'll also be really interesting to see what it's like 25 years after a nuclear fallout, because like surely it's going to be way worse for radiation,
you know. Very true, it hasn't been that long from the bombs dropped, so the radiation levels are going to be ridiculous.
So maybe it's going to play it's going to play a way, like, you know, more important aspect. You know, you have to wash your rods constantly.
Never thought of that.
Could be interesting.
If this is that soon, do we have power armor?
All that stuff's pre-war. That all existed it is before pre-war? The war.
Right, okay.
So it'll also be scattered about, possibly in better condition than most. You know, could be some things that they couldn't justify in the later games, like, you know, better weapons and stuff like that. and this is actually really interesting, I just thought about this now, because it's only been 25 years, if you found like a car or a motorcycle or something, which were things that existed in Fallout 1 and 2, you know, maybe those things will be a bit more operable. You know, they wouldn't be completely operable, Chris.
Yeah, they won't be in complete tatters, like non-usable.
So maybe if they're going to go way out West Virginia and they want to keep DC in it,
yeah,
big map, maybe you're going to involve, you know...
Transport.
Motors.
Oh, I like that. I like
motor
that.
Wagons.
I like that thought, D, is right.
Possibly, you know. Here, all we can do at the minute is wildly speculate.
What do you make of this coming out from Kotaku saying that...
Now we're getting into it.
That this could be an online-only multiplayer experience, D.
Well, Chris, this is the thing.
So this according to Kotaku...
Yeah. Now this is Jason Schreier. Yes. He's the guy...
Says that the game will have an online survival element inspired by the likes of, like, Rust.
Yeah.
And Days Gone. Yeah. Things like that. Now, Bethesda haven't come out and they've yet to
They're
say...
They're saying nothing to E3, I think.
E3, yeah.
They're not going to...
They haven't confirmed nor denied...
What do you think now?
Okay. My initial standpoint is, obviously, I hate it. Because Bethesda, I love...
They're offline games.
They're phenomenal. They're single-player, story-driven offline games. But I think in especially recent years, it might have felt that they almost have to play catch-up. And because maybe. This whole online community and the world with their...
Everyone's online now.
Pretty much. You know? They maybe feel now that this is the way to go about it. And I don't know. I'm not a massive fan of that decision at all.
Well, here's my kind of take on it. I don't think that I don't think they're going to do this out of a reaction in any way. Because they just released the likes of Wolfenstein 2, which is a shooter perfectly tailored to be made into a multiplayer element. And that's offline, single player mode only. That's all that is. That's just out last year. They've done that. They did Prey, which is the same.
Yeah.
They did Doom, which had online multiplayer. But like, they have Skyrim. They have so many open world games like that that are just single player. That is their bread and butter. That is where they succeed. So I think if they are going to do this, if this is going to be an online game, it's going to be stepping ahead of things, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're going to try and, you know, break ground somewhere new.
Yeah.
And he talked about, this guy Jason Schreier talked about Rust and... DayZ or something like that.
Yes.
And it's like, those games, when I used to watch those on YouTube, I used to love the look of those games. It's like, you start with nothing.
Yeah.
You start off in a map.
It's like Ark.
Kind of, yeah.
Evolves or whatever.
There's like 20 other people in the same map. You got to go find supplies, find shelter, craft weapons, so you can fight off these other people and survive.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting, but does Fallout need that?
I don't know, but this is another thing that's led me to believe that... Now, it's two ways to look at this. In the trailer... We hear a voice.
Yeah.
And the voice is kind of reiterating this thing that we have to rebuild. Mm-hmm. And,
you
know, build up from the whatever. I forget the exact term, but it's all about rebuilding and building up. Now, this is either a very cliche, you know, post-apocalyptic elliptic thing, you know, propaganda, you know, let's rebuild, let's move on. Or this is hinting at this fallout, we're taking the elements, the base building from the other elements, and this is what this game is going to be, like you said.
Yeah.
We're going to pretty much go, you're going to have nothing, and you're going to have to build your settlements and
survive. Build a community.
Yeah.
That does sound really interesting. That sounds
tremendous, but online only, I don't know.
It sucks that it's online only.
But I mean, they said that there's still going to be quests, and there's still going to be all that, but just to a lesser extent, obviously, if they're going to focus on this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that that type of game would work if it was only offline. Mm. You know, if you can only build your own world, you're kind of like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You want other people building worlds to compete with.
It's like Minecraft.
It's like Minecraft, yeah. But I mean, yeah, Minecraft, you can build your own world and be completely content with it. Yeah. So maybe, you know, if it's strictly online only, that might be annoying. If there's an offline element as well, I might be pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
And that's if they're going to go with this kind of, you know, it makes sense. 25 years, you're just walking out of the vault. Apparently everyone else in the vault is gone, wherever the fuck they've went to. We don't know. Ooh. Well, that actually would make a lot of sense now that I think about it.
Yeah.
500 people in a vault and you come out into a world and there's people building. That would be other people from your vault.
That would possibly be the vault people.
That would make sense if you're going to make a shared universe like that.
That kind of, I just, they have the perfect, they have potential here for what could be an amazing story.
Yeah.
Like a prequel like that where this guy, what's his name, Gray? Richard Gray?
Richard Gray, yeah.
And he's doing all the super mutant stuff. And
maybe if we build an army to fight off his mutants, you know? I mean, there's potential whatever way they go with it. Like, if they do, now this is the thing, right? If they're gonna do the survival thing, a story has to take a massive backseat. Like,
oh yeah,
it's gonna be heavily about building, grinding, getting supplies, building fortifications. The multiplayer
experience,
essentially that's what it's gonna be.
Probably raids and things like that. You know, you're gonna team up and, you know, maybe try to take down another person's.
Yeah, I mean, it all sounds really interesting. It's kind of like what Sea of Thieves is doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big shared universe. Yeah. You go out and you do your thing. Is it going to be, I don't know.
Maybe you got to go do quests, you know, to earn different things for your village. Yeah.
If you need water, you have to go get water.
Electricity or teleporters or whatever the hell you're going to be using, you know. Because we use them.
Yeah, we we use those. It's interesting whatever they do with it, to be honest with you. But listen, this is the thing. Jason Schreier said before the announcement trailer was revealed, whenever the stream was up and nothing had happened yet, he said, I could go out and spoil this, but I'm not going to just spoil it for the sake of spoiling it. But what I will say is, this is Fallout taking a step in a new, like, interesting direction. And then whenever the trailer did come out, and he made another article, and he said, it's going to be multiplayer, it's going to have survival elements such as Rust. That gives him a bit of credibility, I think. Because he was able to tell us, more or less conclusively, a lot of people thought that this announcement was going to be Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas remastered.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I would have loved to see, to be honest.
I'm still hoping that that's going to be at E3.
That, yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the multiplayer experience and we've remastered 3.
Obviously, they're saving stuff for
Take
E3.
My money.
Exactly.
Take my money.
I think. I wouldn't think be surprised
in
to see.
In the pipeline as well, we're going to see Fallout 4 on Switch.
Interestingly, this game isn't. There's no word of this game coming to Switch.
I don't know if we'll get this to Switch. I think we'll get Fallout 4 to Switch. I think we got Wolfenstein to Switch.
Yeah.
I think Bethesda. Bethesda are there with, you know.
They're more than capable of doing it.
Exactly. But, and I think, you know, yeah.
I don't know if they're going to divert resources to it whenever they're making this new game.
True.
I would have thought if they were going to bring a game to Switch, bring the new game to Switch.
But Microsoft's are.
Microsoft! Cheers.
Nintendo's online capabilities just wouldn't be as strong as.
True. Yeah, if it is an online game, that's a fair point, actually. Yeah.
As, you know, PC, Xbox.
I mean, when you say Nintendo's online capabilities, what are you really talking about?
Yeah, no, exactly. So, there's that.
That's true, actually. That's a very good point. Didn't think about that.
Thank you.
I would love to see Fallout 3 remastered, brought to Switch. And Fallout New Vegas.
It would give me an incentive to go back and play it, because right now I don't really want to go back and play 3 just for the fact that
it doesn't hold up as well.
Like, it's old. I want to play 4 in the hype of all this. I desperately want to get stuck into 4. I love this. I love the thing I'm caught up in, the euphoria.
The hype.
Yeah.
We are on the hype train.
Yeah.
We're riding for all it's worth. What's the other thing I was going
to
say?
The apocalypse.
So, what was I about to say? It's escaped me, Chris.
We were talking about Nintendo Switch online capabilities.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Jason Schreier, the Kotaku journalist, he more or less said this game is not or what the teaser was for, is not a Fallout 3 remaster. Uh-huh. It's something new. And that gives him a bit of credibility because he's obviously right about that.
Yeah.
There was a guy on Reddit who vowed to drink an entire bottle of hot sauce.
Tabasco. I watched
it. If it was not Fallout 3 remastered, which it was not.
And credit to him, he did it.
He did it.
He did it.
He yeah. fucking chugged it too.
Yeah, he's seen that.
Jesus. Fair play to him. Fair play to you, whoever you are. And we're not doing that.
No, we're not. Oh, God, I'd love to see 3 remastered.
Yeah. I think, okay,
yeah.
if they are, they're making a new Fallout game, clearly. And I think it's not a... It's not a continuation of the Fallout series. It's a spin-off of sorts. Yes. Whatever so
Fallout
it is.
Fallout 5 is still yet to come.
Yeah, it's either a prequel, as we've talked about, a story-based prequel, or it's an online survival-based game. This is a spin-off. It's essentially the New Vegas of this iteration, right? Yeah. There will be a Fallout 5, which is going to be more Fallout, as we expected.
I don't think we'll see Fallout 5 until the next generation of console.
Yeah, I think
which leads me to believe that maybe a 3 remaster... It's there on the cards for Xbox One.
This is what I'm thinking as well. PS4. I'm thinking we're going to see... I'm hoping as well that we're going to have... Bethesda have a lot to own up for this year. We're hoping to see the next Elder Scrolls. Even a teaser of what it is at this E3. It has to be on this generation of consoles. It has to
be. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Be disgraceful not to be. And then obviously Fallout 5 might come next generation.
Good God, E3 is going to be amazing.
But if they can port Skyrim to your fucking calculator, they can bring Fallout 3 remastered, I think.
Yeah.
Come on.
I am... Yeah.
New Vegas. I would love to get back into New Vegas without any of the bugs. And
was it a buggy game?
It was so buggy.
I never played it either.
On launch, Chris, it would have been the best rated Fallout game, but on launch it was so buggy. I got so much grief for it, yeah. Like, it was unplayable to people. Like, people lost their entire game saves. But, yeah, there you have it.
Wild speculation over Vault 76.
That's what it is. Another thing, another wild speculation, and this is kind of struck me as odd. I was watching an IGN video. Go figure. And they were just like, yeah, no, it's going to be entirely based inside the vault. The entire game's going to be inside the vault. That was their impression, because the trailer is entirely inside the vault. And I was kind of like...
True, it never shows you anything outside the vault. That's
very
weird.
True. But the final shot...
That was like Fallout Shelter.
Yeah, we have that in Fallout Shelter. They were kind of going an expanded version of that, except that you will be able to go out of the vault to get, you know...
Supplies,
blah, 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 bring it in and build up your vault. But I was like... First off, I wouldn't want to play that.
No.
Fallout is about the wasteland.
Yeah.
The vaults are only a part of that. And secondly, the trailer ends with him standing at the door of the vault on Reclamation Day. Where do you think he's going? To the toilet or something?
He's taking the banner down. Reclamation Day is over. Yeah. Party's over.
All right, everyone, back to work. Back to work. No,
wrap
this
up.
This game is not going to be vault only. Like, this game is vault only. I'll drink an entire bottle of hot sauce.
What? I hope it's fault only.
Yeah, it's not.
wild speculation, Z, and I'm caught up in the lore like mad.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to want to read into it now as well.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I'm going to do right now. I want to play Fallout 4, and I probably will. I have a load of stuff to play in the build-up to E3 because I'm getting hyped for all different kind of stuff. Is there anything else you want to mention on Fallout before?
I watched all of the old Fallout trailers.
Yes.
Immediately after seeing this trailer, because... Yes. God, they make good trailers.
Yeah, they do.
Old-timey music.
Yes.
Apocalyptic settings. They do it. They do it the best.
It gets you pumped for the wasteland.
It just does,
really,
doesn't it?
Really, really does.
It's like a happy, positive vibe to an awful situation.
When do you think we're
going to
see release of this?
Very good point. Yeah. Okay, so E3 is coming up. They're obviously going to drop most details in. Last time with Fallout 4, they said at E3, we're dropping this November time of the same year. That's what I want to hear.
I think, two minds about this. Fallout always releases October, November, December time around that.
Yeah.
A lot of big games coming out this year.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly around the holiday time.
It's going to be hard to avoid.
If they go to compete with that, they have to make damn sure that they have a top class.
You know?
Which maybe stands the sense that Fallout 3 Remastered might be part of this package. Because they need something to back it up.
That's a good point.
You know, if they're just going to come out and go... Yeah, it's dropping in November with this online-only game, and you have, Red Dead released the month
before.
You'll
have Red Dead, you'll have Battlefield V.
Battlefield.
Black Ops 4.
Black Ops 4. Spyro remastered.
Spyro.
Spider-Man
will be out a couple of months before.
And then Naughty Dog fucking throwing shit all over the place with fucking...
Just fucking shit on the wall and see what sticks.
The Last of Us.
Imagine The Last of Us was coming out this year.
We've
got a whole podcast to talk about this next week.
Don't even.
Chris, I think that's a fucking excellent point.
Yeah. So I think they might back it up and be like, it's coming out this year. And
do you know what they might do?
The floor.
Do you know what they might do? And I think it's a guaranteed moneymaker. Fallout 76 coming out 2019. But this November, you can play Fallout 3 Remastered. Is that Bethesda to do something like that?
Oh, I'm so excited to see what
You know, they tease something and then they make the reveal of the main.
I would be extremely shocked if they just come out and go, yes, this is an online-only game and it's dropping in October, November. I would kind of be like, really? What else have you got, Bethesda? Because if you're just doing that, I mean, with all the games that we say are coming out, like...
You got to make... Well, this is the thing. It's Fallout. A lot of people will just play it.
True,
But here's a question.
Yes.
I think this is pretty important. If they opt to do this online game like Rust or whatever it was, how are you gonna pay for this game?
True.
Because they make or they own the Elder Scrolls Online. I don't actually know who develops it, but they have that is one of their IPs.
Yes.
Elder Scrolls Online, which is a subscription based service or was a subscription based service.
Yeah, are you thinking is this gonna be a subscription based or is this gonna be a one off payment and then maybe
are you gonna do something like what Sea of Thieves did, which is $60 up front? And then content every couple of months, updates like that. Or you're going to do, you pay every month you want to play. So if you're going to play it for 2 months, you only pay a tenner, whatever.
Very true.
I don't know. They've done that, you know, it's been established that subscription based model with the Elder Scrolls. I'm actually not sure how they do it today with the Elder Scrolls because it was pretty trash when it started.
Here's what I think we're going to see. Fallout Battle Royale.
Yeah. Vault Royale.
Vault Royale. 76 people, only one come out.
Yeah. Winner.
Vault Tech Dinner?
Vault Tech Dinner.
That's brilliant. Copyright that, patent that.
If we do that, fucking Bluehole will sue us. Did you hear about that?
No.
Bluehole. I hope it's Bluehole. That sounds inappropriate to me.
Who's this for?
PUBG developers.
Oh, the whole.
They're suing Fortnite in Korea. On their home turf because they think they'll get preferential treatment there.
Oh, on what grounds? Just for the game itself?
On the Korean grounds, Chris. I don't know. Battle Royale kind of format, I think.
But sure, why don't like another Battle Royale come in and just sue fucking?
Because it's in Korea and Bluehole are in Korea.
Oh, true.
So they're hoping they'll get some leniency, I think. Anyway, that's news. We're going to talk about news next week.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, we're going to do news next week.
We do news every fourth week of the month. So
every fifth week of the month. I do think that if they want to go toe-to-toe, they have to give us something big, which maybe, you know... And remasters are popular nowadays. Oh, remasters, man, this year and last year have just been...
Remasters have been the thing of this generation.
So if they come... Oh, part of me now really believes that this could happen. I hope people...
I think we've just
podcast.
Convinced ourselves that it's going
to
happen.
Oh, I hope people listening to this have just been like, these two guys have sussed it.
Oh, they know what they're talking about, these guys. They know what they're talking
Holy
about.
Holy shit. What do you call the lead guy at Bethesda?
Todd Howard? I think it's Todd Howard, yeah.
Is it Todd Howard? Todd? Oh, it is Todd Howard.
It's Todd Howard.
Yeah.
I think so.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of? Oh, Molyneux. Peter Molyneux, the guy.
Fucking hell.
The greatest game of all time. You will have every choice.
You will make all of the choices. Yes. I make all the choices.
You will decide whether it rains or snows every single day based on how you get out of bed.
Here's something, though.
You don't get out of bed.
Here's one more thing before we roll off of Fallout. If they're going to remaster Fallout 3, and I'm hoping they're going to do that, genuinely am.
More gunplay?
Yeah. Oh, obviously, I hope they're going to bring Fallout 4 mechanics in.
Excellent.
Keep the role-playing elements of 3, but make the gunplay like 4, because 3's gunplay is ass.
4's gunplay was terrific.
It's so sweet, so good. But no, the thing is, at the minute, there's a big mod going on. I think it's called Fallout 4 Capital Wasteland, I think what it is. So essentially, they're bringing the Capital Wasteland into Fallout 4, you know, updated stuff. They're bringing in the quest lines. I think they're going to use the assets from Fallout 3, so the voices and the missions and everything. I think they're bringing that all in. This is obviously for PC, right? But if they were doing that, surely Bethesda would be like looking to shut that shit down.
Down straight off the bat. Because obviously they're going to try to release this new game. So.
Which is Fallout 3 Remastered. That's if they're doing that. So maybe, and they did a trailer for that fairly recently. It hasn't been shut down yet. So that makes me maybe doubt a little bit more about the Fallout 3 remaster. Obviously, I still hope it happens.
Don't say that.
You know?
I want it to happen.
But maybe they're just being cool dudes and they're going to be like, yeah, that's fine, do your mod.
You run with that, but we have a much better experience.
Yeah, we're going to do this on console. You guys can't touch us.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
I can't wait to see what it is now. It's got me so excited for E3 this year.
I gotta say though, Bethesda have really, they have put the pressure on themselves for E3.
Oh yeah, big time.
Because they have now, they have released Rage 2,
yeah,
and now this Fallout 76, whatever it may be, or they've teased them at least, before their E3 conference. So now people have massive expectations, particularly for Fallout. And they still haven't heard a whisper about the Elder Scrolls, whatever the next game is going to be.
I know.
Villainwood.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
So imagine if they just came in and they were just like, yeah, we got Prey DLC and Fallout 76 is an online-only
survival game. Maybe they do have something big with,
with
the Elder Scrolls, but maybe it's going to be, you know, a bit further down the line, and this is just to break it up, something short.
Man, but you can't give away one revival of a game series with Rage 2 and one massive announcement being Fallout 76.
I'd say nothing.
And have nothing left for E3. You have to have something in the bag.
Yeah. So, yeah, true.
But maybe they have just opted, no, we're just going to release all our stuff before E3.
Didn't they do that one of the year? Somebody did that one of the year. Was it Microsoft? And then literally right beforehand, they threw out all these big fucking AAA titles. And everyone was like, Jesus, what are they going to bring to the table? And then they just brought nothing. They were like, oh,
was that Nintendo?
Was it Nintendo?
I think Nintendo decided to do like, we have
Nintendo don't really do much at E3.
Yeah, they have sort of stepped out of that.
Yeah.
They've kind of decided, we'll do our own conference.
Yeah.
And then we'll just bring gameplay, you know, you can play the games
we'll
at
do
E3.
Our own fucking thing.
I think maybe that was them, and they did all their big announcements. But obviously, we're expecting, well, they announced Super Smash.
Yeah.
We're going to see that at E3, so.
But that's next week.
That's next week.
Oh, yeah. So much to talk about, D. But yes, let us know in the comments below what you think about the whole Fallout 76
hyperiority.
If you haven't got a clue what Fallout is or what Fallout 76 is or anything we've just said, let us know in the comments below. We'd still like a comment. hit that like button. 10 likes gets what?
Like that smash button.
What does 10 likes get us?
We get pissed in the next.
Oh yeah, we'll do an IRL
in a subsequent podcast.
10 likes. We will do what D said we cannot do, and I will make sure we do a live podcast to YouTube. How do you like those apples?
You guys are going to see 15 seconds of a podcast followed by the Fallout. Please stand by.
That would be terrific.
No, if you get 10 likes, we'll take a fucking, I don't know.
No, 100%. Yeah, we'll do...
sixer of Canadian Molsons.
We'll do an in real life stream. We'll just sit and we will literally sit and it'll not even be a podcast. We'll just sit and chat whatever we want to talk about and we'll drink.
Chat check. Get banged.
That's it. What a good way to go out. Ladies and gentlemen, remember you can find this podcast and all of our previous podcasts at youtube.com where you can watch the video, obviously. And if that is not good for you or you wish to take us on the go, we cannot stress this enough. You can find us over at iTunes or any other podcast hosting service.
They're all good.
Because we know that iTunes is a bit difficult if you don't have an iPhone or you're not with Apple, blah, blah, blah. So use Podcast Addict or use
Stitcher.
Stitcher Radio is another very, very good one. And we will be coming to much more accessible platforms in the near future. So stay tuned for that.
Basically, though, any sort of podcast listening app you have for your phone will pick up our feed. And
yeah,
that'd
be terrific. Yeah,
just search for us.
But yeah, thank you all for your love and support. This is episode 50. I hope you're enjoying the experience so far. D, you have a question for me as part of our That was tremendous.
Did you see that though?
Part of our closing thoughts, if you like.
Yeah, Chris, I have.
I just realized that light is so central on that side of the room tonight.
Yeah, it is. That's because I moved it for shooting the thing earlier. Does it look good or bad, Chris?
I don't know.
Looks pretty good, right?
Yeah, I think it does.
I hope it does.
Looks pretty rad.
Because we are way through our podcast. Right, so I have a couple of notes written down here. Number one is John Wick, kick my dick.
That's Shawnee McLaughlin.
Jason Bourne, got the horn. Thank you, Sean McLaughlin, for that.
That's honestly what he did with his time last week. He was supposed to come up and fucking podcast. Yeah, he doesn't even tune into the pod.
I don't know why I just shouted you out, Sean, because you're not fucking listening.
And what if you are listening?
Smash hit that like button. Okay, yeah. Here's the question for you, Chris. And I'm interested about your opinion on this, because I feel you might agree with me, or you'll be complete opposite sort of opinion, right? I was listening to a podcast the other day, one we listen to frequently. Which will remain unnamed.
No, what's the other that? Finger guys.
Yeah.
You want to shout us out too? Tag them in the video, Dave. Tag them.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Can you tag on YouTube?
I don't know.
I'm gonna tag on YouTube.
I'm gonna send them an email saying we tagged you on YouTube.
Yeah, it's obvious gaming. Check them out. They're good guys.
I think they'll appreciate that we shouted them out. Keep killing it. No, yeah, I was listening to them, and they got to talking, Chris. They got to talking about the water they drink. Yeah, they're big water drinkers, as are we. No, we drank scotch.
It's a bottle of vodka and a bottle of scotch.
But anyway, they were talking about branded water, Chris, and they had very different opinions about, like, I don't know, they had a lot of American brands, so like...
Oh, yeah, Aquafina.
Dasiana?
Oh, Dasani.
Dasani, and all these different brands. And they were like... anyway, they were just talking about how some brands taste way nicer than others.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you think like water brands can taste nice compared to others?
I take it you're a person who does not believe that water tastes... Man, all water tastes the same.
Listen, there are two types of water.
Hot and cold.
Cold water and hot water.
I knew you were going to say that.
Okay, no, it's tepid water. I stand corrected.
No, it's not, D, because based off of the purification system...
Jesus and fuck.
What have you done? The level of pH in the water can taste extremely different.
No. I accept water can taste differently.
Yeah.
Right? Extremely differently. You're talking out your hole.
No.
No. No. It's not like whiskey there where it can taste like fucking oak and then it can taste like, what, elderberry? Is that what type of whiskey you have?
Elderflower, sure.
It all tastes different because they make it taste different. No, water is just very mild differences between each source, right? Very mild differences.
I'm going to cut you off right
very
there.
Very mild altogether.
It's not.
Tastes, yeah.
I once had water that was bottled and I had to stop drinking it because I found it to be that salty. The sodium levels were higher than any water I had ever drank before. And I immediately went to, I think it is, do you know that water in the purple bottle? It's Scottish Highland. No, it's the Highland.
Oh,
Highland
yeah.
Spring.
Highland
or something.
Spring, yeah.
And it's a very low pH level and or a very balanced one. And or low sodium, sorry. What
with
am I talking
pH,
about?
The
low
pH.
Sodium. And immediately you could taste the difference. One was salty, one was not.
Yeah, but that's because if you put salty water beside non-salty water, it probably tastes the difference.
Volvic water is the best water on the planet.
No, right? See, Volvic?
Yeah.
Don't taste any different from Evian
or
Ballygowan or Deep River Rock.
No, Ballygowan and Deep River Rock are two completely different tastes of water.
No, Chris! They're fucking water.
No, don't.
It's essentially tap water.
What are you even talking about, D? They come from springs.
All right. I have the inside scoop. Do you like Deep River Rock?
No.
It is tap water.
It's not.
Absolutely confirmed, because I know where it's bottled. It's bottled in Lisburn.
I don't like tap water.
I used to work in the bottling plant, and it's literally tap water. I mean, it's not coming out of a tap, but they're just piping into the same system as your tap water.
Yeah, I think,
and it's the same anywhere. Like, don't believe the hype. They're getting it from wherever the bottling plant is.
But there's a difference in hard water and soft water, and
the taste
of those.
That's true. Yeah.
But that's the thing.
But it's very minute, Chris. It's not like...
The house that we're living in now, I'm pretty sure our water's coming from a spring and not from a source, because it is always ice cold any time of the year as soon as you turn on tap.
Aye.
And it is like ridiculously pure and it tastes great.
See, this is my other point about water. And I genuinely believe this. You could say that salty water that you had, you make it cold enough, don't taste the difference. I think cold water is nice water and that's it. And most people mistake like better tasting water for the conditions they have that water in.
Right, so put this to the testy and we'll do a video and I'll get all different bottles of water and we will use a thermometer and we'll get into the same temperatures. That sounds like a good video and we'll taste test them.
We'll taste test them.
And we'll do a water review and we will put this out there to the public.
No, we won't do that because I don't... That's not a thing.
Well,
there is no
I
difference between the waters. But anyway, this is my final point, right? That kind of irked me. I didn't mind that because I understand some people do think that water tastes different.
We got Nestle water in America.
Oh, yeah, it's meant to be awful.
It is awful. It tastes awful because it's Nestle water. Nestle make fucking chocolate.
But Chris, all you have to do is get a fucking pipe...
Exactly.
The water
tastes
different. Listen, anyway, right. I understand some people have preferences for their water, and that is fine. If you want to spend the extra on bottle Evian, good on you. Apparently, you got cash to spare.
No, but even when it comes to, I think I would only spend because I want the sodium in the water to be lower, because I don't want to have.
All right, well, okay. So maybe there's something you picked up on, like sodium content, and you want to watch out for that. That's fine.
I don't want to bloat.
Good on you, right? This is the thing that annoyed me. Is that they were saying You guys in this office podcast were saying, when you go to buy water, right, that's the thing you don't cheap out on. So if you see like a Tesco bottle of water, like a 3 liter of water,
at like 20p,
for like a pound, or a single 500ml bottle of Evian for 110, you get the Evian. You don't cheap out on water. And this may be different in America because I don't know what their tap water is like, but I am like, are you fucking serious? You buy a bottle of water, the cheapest one you can get to get the fucking bottle, and then you fill it up out of the tap. Chris, how can you justify going out there and saying, they were literally saying, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, get the cheapest toilet paper you can find. No, by the way, no. You get expensive toilet paper.
Go and listen to this podcast,
yeah, you're going
to
have to. There's some things you don't cheap out on, I agree with that. But water, cheap out on it you want. Fill it up at the tap, put it in the fridge, it's going to taste cold and probably really
American
refreshing.
Water must be so fucking different than ours.
It might be. That is, like, I don't know. Because they always have filters and shit over in America.
I mean, they live, where those guys from, they're from Georgia. And it's Georgia. Pretty, it's down near Florida, which is pretty boggy. Now, I don't know if Georgia's boggy too, but their water, I don't think, would be great.
Probably not.
No.
But I mean, most people in America have those, you know, them Britvic filters.
Oh, yeah.
Just put it in a filter water and put it in your fridge. Well, that is, I get that because it's filtered, like it's removing whatever fucking.
So it's like Volvic water, which is filtered through the different rocks. It is, D. Like, there's no point even arguing with this. Seven different layers.
I don't know if you can even taste the difference between the filtered water. All I know is if some people have to have it filtered.
Yeah, no, I like filtered water. Because,
like, the calcium and shit. Like,
yeah, it's fantastic.
I understand it does something, but, like, does it change the taste? Probably a little bit. But not nearly enough that you have to go out spending more for it.
It just tastes, some water, like, kind of jags your throat, and then some water just glides down. That's what I like to think of it.
How? No way. You're saying water has different consistencies.
No, what I'm saying is it jags your throat. It's like...
What does that mean?
Like, you know what it means.
It's cutting the fucking throat of me, boy.
Like, you know whenever you swallow, like vodka... And it like nips your throat and you're like, ah, some water does that. And then other water is like just drinking like liquid gold, you know, just like.
There can't be that big of a difference.
No, there is.
The only way you can experience that big of a difference is if you're drinking tepid water and you're drinking cold water. You're going to go like,
I'm going to go cold home this podcast delicious. And I'm going to put a poll on my Instagram and see how many people agree with this.
That good point.
Bottled waters taste differently.
If you do your experiment, I would also like you to do this. Take your favorite bottle of water and your least favorite bottle of water and have your favorite bottle of water room temp and have your least favorite cold.
Now, bear in
mind... And I'd say you'd prefer the one cold.
I'm not a massive fan of cold water.
Yeah, but I even think you'll still think it tastes better.
Okay. Well, I'll try that.
I think the temperature is everything.
Yeah.
And with water, you can definitely influence the taste... Based on like what you have in the
when
glass.
When you dip something into it.
You know, if you have a little bit of lime on that, for a plate, you know. Yeah. Bit of cucumber.
Oh, I like lemon in my water.
Lemon in your water, you know. A bit of orange in your water.
Put blueberries in the other day. It didn't go so well.
But no, listen. Get the cheap water. Get the cheap water. We're not made of money.
Well, I don't know, D. I genuinely thought that question was going to be about gaming or something. I'm glad that it was about water. That was
no, this one's not about Neil Gaiman at all, no. Talk plenty about him.
Norse mythology. No, I'll do that. Any other closing thoughts?
Tastes different. No, I think that's me.
I think that's me.
Oh, wait, I watched Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal.
And?
He is very good in that film. He is very good in that film. It's kind of like... It's not even a fucked up film. It is kind of fucked up toward the end. But like... Just the concept... It seems real enough and very common. And then you're kind of like, but these guys are doing this.
Yeah.
So essentially what a Nightcrawler is a guy who goes to like accidents and stuff and gets footage of it for the news.
Right.
And if you're the first one there, it's like, you're going to get the most money.
Yeah.
Because you got the best footage or whatever.
Yeah.
And like people are like celebrating, like, you know, like people.
You get into accidents and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wow. So it gets kind of weird, but his character is like not like socially normal. And so he is just like really freaky. Oh, he's very, very good in it.
Right,
like,
okay.
It's probably my favorite Jake Gyllenhaal.
Have you seen Southpaw?
What do you call that?
Southpaw?
Southpaw. Oh, yeah. Boxing no, movie? I didn't like to look at that film.
I haven't seen it either, but apparently it's excellent.
Apparently, yeah, he got like ripped for it now.
Yeah.
I like Jake Gyllenhaal. You ever seen Prisoners? He's awesome in Prisoners as well.
I've seen... brothers. He's not in that, is he?
I think he is, yeah.
Tobey Maguire, yeah, him, brothers?
I think it's him, yeah.
It is him and Tobey Maguire. It's very good. I also like The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I like it too.
It's very good.
Prince of Persia. He's the Prince of Persia.
The less it's said about that, probably the better. It's 3 hours too long, and it's only a 2.5 hour movie.
2.5 hours?
No, it's not. It's close to 3 hours. It's 240, 250, yeah,
that's bad. Terrible movie. Bad for him.
Absolutely terrible.
Donnie Darko is his big one, though.
Well, his Donnie Darko, right?
Yeah, never seen it, though.
No, me either.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Donnie Darko
killed
me. No, that's it for me, D. This weekend, I'm going to chill. I am going to go home now, and I'm going to try to edit this and get this done to leave me tomorrow free, play some Minecraft, chill out with Ashley, maybe get some food. Not sure if she's working or if I'm working. I'm not working. I'm working Sunday.
Yeah.
Horrible. Hate working Sundays. But still, not long to QCon, which I like.
I heard an interesting theory this week, Chris.
Shoot.
Ranking the days of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone said it should go Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Then Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday.
I would go Wednesday. I go Friday.
Wednesday?
I go Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Sunday.
So you agree? You agree Thursday is better than Sunday?
Thursday is a what?
Better than Sunday.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because it's the build up to the weekend.
Yeah, it's a build up to the weekend, but you work the whole day. You know, in a standard working week.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because a lot, like, I don't like
the worst day of the week is a Tuesday. It's not a Monday. People think it's a Monday. It's not. And, well, I heard another interesting theory that you should never treat a Monday like a Monday. You should always treat every day like a Saturday. And it changes, apparently, like, the way you perceive days and shit.
That probably would work, but then you wouldn't get any appreciation out of Saturday.
You wouldn't get any appreciation out of work either when you don't show up for 5 days.
That's true.
But
Chris, where aren't you at work, man? It's Saturday. I'm chilling on the beach.
Oh, that work. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been another absolute pleasure to have you all here on what is episode 50 of the podcast. We thank you, we love you, we appreciate your support. We hope to see you all in good health and good spirits for next week. Do get in contact with us about anything. Thank you to everyone who does.
I'll drink to that.
And here's to Microsoft doing it one step at a time. Good night, everybody.